I think at the 25-minute mark, I will be in tears. It's so sad. Anyway, the show is so sad.
Wow, tears truly about to fall from my eyes. This is a first.
I immediately thought, oh, I am in great hands for the rest of this show because vocally, damn. Like, damn. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to After Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we're talking all about Stratford's production of Rent. I mean, right off the bat, this program, Playbill, we are obsessed with. Thank you, Stratford, for giving us a really good photo shoot this year. This is really a good photo shoot.
They don't always have good Playbills. Last year's were disappointing. It was just like the red and it said Chicago on it. But this is fun.
Maybe because we were still in like a kind of pandemic-y time. They didn't know if they could like have a cast together. But now you can do it, I guess.
What do you feel about who's included in the photo shoot?
The only person that's missing here is Joanne.
We are missing Joanne. We're missing Benny, but, like, I don't really care that much about Benny.
I really like the cute picture of Robert Marcus in the corner with the camera. I really like that picture.
Where is it? Oh, that is cute.
At the bottom corner. Yeah.
Wait, I feel like we're missing one more person. Is it just Benny? And Collins. We're missing Collins.
Oh, Collins! Collins!
We're missing Collins.
Wow.
How rude. Huh. How rude of you.
I mean, maybe because, well, actually, no, I was about to say something, but now that's not actually
true.
We're
missing Collins and Joanne.
Because of Angel and Mimi, I was going to be like, oh, maybe it's just the core, whatever. But the core people would be Mark, Maureen, Roger, and Collins. And that's it. Because they're the core friends. And mm-hmm. Collins is missing. You're so right. Sorry, Lee Siegel. You're not on this.
Sorry to you.
But don't worry, we'll talk about you in this episode.
No, you're going to get a full section to be discussed.
Before we get into Rent, we do need to talk about some theater news that's happening because it's not really theater news, but it's just like news in general that is like taking over mine and your Twitter timelines, TikTok timelines, and now Instagram timelines. I'm getting like Instagram notifications about this. I want to say it is July 27th when we are recording this Rent episode. Our Hadestown episode that just came out, the last episode, I can't remember we recorded, somewhere like a couple, July like 18th or something like that. That episode was recorded like right after Wimbledon Sunday when we saw pictures of Ariana Grande, Jonathan Bailey, and Andrew Garfield, and I made a comment about Jonathan Bailey and Ariana Grande's like romance rumors that were flying. And little did we know, a week later, we would have two separations and now basic confirmation. I mean, it's July 27th, so maybe we'll have real confirmation when this episode is out. But like, alleged confirmation that Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater
SpongeBob himself. Bach what? Himself. This is Bach supremacy.
This is Bach supremacy. Bach ended getting up what he with wanted. The girl. I know.
Bach supremacy.
Sorry to Nessa.
I actually like, the more I think about this, like, actually, like, the crazier I go.
Because every day there's a new update. Every hour there's a new update.
When, like, the news first came out, I think you sent it to me, and I was like, there's absolutely no way this is true. Like, he just had a baby. He's married. And then, like, day after day, I am proven wrong. So
day after day, and then, like, today specifically was the Page Six article.
The Page Six article.
Has really brought things to the
forefront. His wife, or his estranged ex-wife. calling the newspapers and talking about this, giving quotes to Page Six.
According to TMZ, on Wednesday, July 26th, Ethan Slater filed for divorce in New York City. I can't believe this.
It's not funny, and yet it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
The funniest headline, though, is that the actual voice of SpongeBob, like the animated SpongeBob, mm-hmm. like his wife had to be like, we're still happily married. This is not the same person that you guys are talking about.
Someone said, dating Ariana Grande. And maybe we'll see how this actually goes, but someone said this is the like Debbie Reynolds, Eddie Fisher, Elizabeth Taylor of our time.
Yes, I did see a tweet about this today.
Like Ariana Grande is Elizabeth Taylor, obviously. Ethan Slater is Eddie Fisher. And then Lily J, who was a previous complete unknown as
high school sweetheart.
As Debbie Reynolds. Crazy stuff. Okay, let's get to it. Let's
talk about what we are really here for. I think we should take bets for the audience, for everyone listening right now. Will we cry in this episode? I think the wager is pretty high for you. And I think if we talk about certain things, it will be pretty high for me too. So what do you think about that?
I think at the 25-minute mark, I will be in tears.
That's pretty early. It's like 15 minutes away from now. Okay. Okay.
Let's find out.
All right. Okay. Well, let's talk about this production of Rent that's playing at the Stratford Festival at the Festival Theater. It is on stage until October 28th. There are still, if you are listening to us and you are under the age of 29, there are deals for tickets. There is also, but I have looked and I think it's like decently hard to get right now, but maybe look closer to the end of September, early October. There is a section called like the Bohemian seats. Any seat in the front row, I believe, is around like $30. They're looking for like Rent heads to be in those seats, which is fun. Probably weekdays, I would say, is your best bet right now, because weekends seem to be more sold out than anything. And I just bought tickets again off of Stratford's like biggest sale of the year. So just keep an eye on like Stratford's social media pages, because they seem to be putting out like discount codes every so often.
Stratford is pretty good about doing discounts, about doing sales, about getting accessibly priced tickets into people's hands.
Yeah.
So you can always watch out for another offer like that. It's pretty.
And yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's always offers like that. And full disclosure, these were gifted tickets to us. We went on media tickets. Thank you, Robert Marcus. We'll talk about you more in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But these were gifted tickets to us. But all of the thoughts that we are about to share are our own. And they're very high anyway, so it doesn't really matter. That we're not about to say anything really bad about this production. No.
So we'll talk about more about Rent, but I don't think you could get a better production of Rent. Rent will always be Rent, with the highs and the lows of what that means. But I don't think you could do it better than what they did.
Wow, this is really high praise for
me. Is this high praise? Well, this is the thing. Like, I always find a Stratford production just so stunning. Like, I've found everyone I've ever seen just so great. Even if I don't like the show, it's never been a fault with the production. It's always been a fault with the show itself.
The story. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that rings true to like Chicago last year. We just aren't like the biggest fans of the story of Chicago itself, but that doesn't mean that every person on that stage wasn't super talented.
Yeah. The craft wasn't amazing. The direction wasn't great. Like Rent, we'll talk about, but it's an incomplete show. It's not finished. Mm-hmm. But with what it is, this was a wonderful production of Rent.
Okay, so let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about the story of Rent, and also that this was the first time that you have seen Rent.
This is the first time I've seen Rent live. This is the first time I've seen Rent live on stage. I've obviously seen the final performance filmed on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I've also seen Rent live. That was aired on television. Mm-hmm. Was that Fox? Was it on Fox?
It was Fox or NBC, but I want to say I think it was Fox, that one. It doesn't matter. We did an episode on it. It was actually our second episode. This is actually the first time ever that we have repeated a show for an episode in the almost, can't believe I'm about to say this, 5 years that we've been doing.
What I'll say is we did an episode on The Prom, the musical, and then we did an episode on The Prom, the movie.
Right. You're so right.
So, but you know. Similar, but not exactly the same. Not exactly the same.
This is the first time it's been like a live staged production of a show. But Rent Live was our second ever episode. So if you want to have a fun listen,
four plus years ago, which is crazy.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yes. What's the story of Rent? What is the story of Rent? So it's based on the opera La Boheme. I was watching a documentary earlier, and actually Jonathan Larson based it on the original stories that La Boheme is based on as well. Like, he went to that original text. I don't even know.
Which, a side note, La Boheme is playing in Toronto in October, and I think we should go.
I agree. I think we should go as well. I've never been to the opera.
No. We almost went in France, but we didn't.
I know. We almost saw La Boheme in France.
Yeah.
So it's based on the opera La Boheme. And so there are these group in in Rent, there are these group of what you would call bohemians, but what we would also call starving artists, let's say. Mm-hmm. They're trying to create art and they're trying not to sell out. So we have our main characters of Roger and Mark. Mark is kind of a documentarian. He is filming, he's observing it all. He's kind of the narrator for the audience. Then we also have Roger, who was in rehab. He's addicted to heroin. I'm not good at drugs. I believe it's heroin. I Googled what smack was after we came home. I was like, I think it's heroin.
I mean, we're talking about like cocaine a lot in this show. We're talking about heroin. Mimi is addicted to heroin. They don't like outright say it, but
it's no, they don't say heroin, but they say smack. And I was like, what is smack? And also, sling for snow.
Snow is cocaine. They do reference a lot of like needles, which is obviously harder drugs. Yes.
Yes. So then we have Roger, who's out of rehab, I am assuming, after his girlfriend April died of overdose. HIV AIDS. And Roger is also HIV positive, which we learned.
Yes.
We have Mimi. Yes, we have Mimi, who is a new neighbor who we meet. We have Collins, who is a friend of theirs, who is he, I don't even know what he does. Is he a teacher?
He's a teacher. He does lectures, yes.
He does lectures. Who meets a character, Angel, who is a drag queen who performs, who we meet on the street, who is also HIV positive. We've also got we've also got Maureen, who is Mark's ex-girlfriend, who's now dating Joanne. And Maureen is a performance artist, and she's doing a protest against tearing down buildings. Wow, I'm sure it's explained, but it's not coming to me.
And Joanne is a lawyer, but also helps Maureen like with her performance. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like her right-hand woman.
Well, yeah, I think she just got that role by being Maureen's girlfriend. Like Mark used to do that because he was Maureen's boyfriend. Yeah. She's not looking for skill in this position. She's looking for devotion. Exactly. And there's also Benny, who was one of their friends who married a rich girl and now owns the building that they live in, was letting them live there for free. But he goes to Roger and Mark at the beginning of the show and he says, I need the rent. And they're like, excuse me, you said you would let us stay here for free. And he's like, well, I'll cancel the rent if you can stop Maureen from doing her performance
art. Her protest,
yeah. And they're like, absolutely no way. And that's kind of the first act all takes place on Christmas Eve. And then Act Two takes place over the next year.
Yeah.
That was a horrible plot summary, but there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Is maybe a critique.
a critique of the story.
A critique of the show. You know, but the thing is, like, it's Frozen. Like, the show is Frozen.
I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the beginning of, like, let's get into the story before we get into, like, the performances. So, for those that do not know, I believe we sent this on a Rent episode, but again, that was, like, almost 5 years ago. Written by Jonathan Larson, and he died of an aneurysm the night before the opening off-Broadway
The first of preview.
Rent. The first preview off-Broadway of Rent in 1996, which... For anyone that knows anything about theater, there are a million changes that happen after
previews, during
previews, before previews. Like, it is not finished. They were, like, probably getting pages that morning, the night before, the day before. Like, you are changing things over and over and over again. So go ahead.
Like, even so, what they ended up doing is they ended up having this off-Broadway run, and then they very quickly transferred to Broadway. So even in just that limited amount of time, you would have had a full preview period off-Broadway to make changes. Then you would have had the time between the transfer from off-Broadway to Broadway to rewrite things, make changes, to do adapt, and then the preview period of Broadway to make changes. So in my mind, that's three chunks of time to make changes. And then possibly if Jonathan Larson hadn't died, maybe they wouldn't have taken it to Broadway right away, and we would have been able to make changes and changes and changes even in other places, maybe another run in a different place. We'll never know. Like, we will never know.
Yeah.
But because he died the night before that first preview, they froze the show in the last words that he was able to write. I believe there are, like, a few minor changes, but nothing major, nothing structural, no real changes, because the writer, the author, was not there to make them and see them.
Now, I will say, as much as this show is messy, at sometimes so confusing, at sometimes really silly. The fact that it is untouched and unfinished makes it like a perfect show to me, because it's a time capsule of what happened pre his death. And it was such a tragic, if anyone has seen the episode of Smash where
where Kyle dies
and the cast performs in a like acoustic a cappella performance of Hitless. The same thing happened for the first preview of Rent. The cast did not perform it like in its full staged glory. They just like sat on stage and sang the songs. And to me, like it doesn't matter that it's unfinished, because no matter what, everyone knows that. And if you don't know that, then we're telling you right now that that's what it is. And I can appreciate that for what it is. And I will always love Rent for that reason.
It's part of the lore. Like if this was a regular show that we were like, it's unfinished. We talk about shows, this feels unfinished all the time.
Oh yeah. But and we're like, we know that they're living.
Yeah. But we know that there are future productions and things like it being unfinished and being messy is part of the charm, and it is part of the lore, and it is a huge part of what makes Rent special, I feel.
Yeah.
And why it has resonated with so many people. I think about, this is a musical, this is a piece about grief, about losing people, about how do you go on after you've lost someone, after you've lost people, after tragedy. And then the cast and the people who loved the show like had to firsthand experience that by losing Jonathan Larson in that. I remember I saw a quote, I don't know exactly who said it, but Jonathan Larson, he didn't know, but he was giving people the tools, the words, the means to grieve him with this show, with this music. And I always thought that was like such a beautiful way to I always thought it was such like a beautiful like way to describe what happened and kind of make sense of his death and have the story.
Back to this production.
Yeah.
This is directed by Tom Allison, who was in the 1997 Toronto company of Rent, which played at the Royal Alex. And something that I think is so... Wow, I'm going to cry. Wow.
Yeah.
That is like so special to me is that this production feels like it has so much love in it, and I think that it's very special that a cast member that got to live that only a year after his death was able to like bring their experience to a version of this show that is just as timely as ever in 2023. Every single scene that we witnessed in that theater I felt had so much care and love put into it, because someone that loved the show, lived the show for that time period, is working on it right now. And I think that's really important in theater in general, is when you get the opportunity to have someone that has a connection to a piece, that they get to put their spin on it and show us what can be done.
Yeah, it was so crazy because watching this production, it felt so urgent. Like, it felt so... like visceral. It felt so high energy. Like, it felt like the cast was like, you need to hear these words right now. You need to hear this now. We need to tell you this right now. Like, it didn't feel dated in any way to me.
No.
It felt very urgent and exciting still. And I loved that about this. I mean, obviously, like, the costumes, the language that they're using and the costumes, I thought were so perfectly 90s in this production. They were fantastic. But the message and what they were saying, I don't know, has never felt dated. Probably because it's based on La Boheme, something that has been around for hundreds of years. I mean, it's interesting, you know, in back-to-back episodes, we're talking about these musicals that are based on these, like, really long-lasting stories that have stood the test of time. And we found that no matter, you know, whatever the venue, whatever the method of telling them, those classic stories... you know, they hit every time,
yeah,
no matter what. I don't know, how do you feel about that?
No, it is, it's true, and it's also interesting because like Rent now is 27 years old. It's been around for almost 30 years, and as you said, like the way that they were telling this story, like singing these lyrics, it was like, this is this is happening today. Like, you need to pay attention to this, that it's happening today. Like, it felt very urgent. And some might be like, oh, that's a little, like, overwhelming. But, like, no, we needed that. Like, that's exactly how I want Rent to be portrayed, is that urgency, is that, like, level, as I was saying, that, like, that level of care. Like, it felt like everyone cared so much about this production.
Did. It was also very cathartic, if that makes sense, watching this. Like,
oh. in more ways than one.
In many ways. Just when we were watching it, one of my favorite songs is Another Day in Act One. And that's when I started to cry, like, during Another Day. And I felt like that's halfway through Act One. I was like, get a grip, pull yourself together, be okay. Like, it's not okay. And then, you know, when they're doing Seasons of Love in Act Two, at the beginning, top of Act Two, like, true, like, just full tears coming down my face, sobbing.
With the house sobbing. Lights up.
The house lights up! So you could see each other. I was like, please stop looking at me. How about love? How about love?
How about love? Measure in love. Seasons of love.
Don't look at me. We met up with Robert after the show. I'm like, could you see us? He's like, yeah.
Like, we'll talk more about that when we get to. I feel like this episode deserves an entire Robert Marcus section, not because of, like, him himself, which, like, hi Robert, if you're listening, you're such a lovely person and we loved meeting you, but we'll talk more about you in a minute. But just because Mark is, like, so important, I feel like, to this storyline. Yeah,
he is the audience's surrogate, the audience's guide, yeah, into the show.
But we'll get to you in a little bit. Last year, when we saw Chicago, same theater, we have not been back to the Avon. We're going back to the Avon this weekend to see Spamalot, which is exciting. But, like, I just think after talking to Robert Marcus when we interviewed him last year and him talking a little bit about the, like, stage mechanics of the festival theater, I'm like, this theater is really able to transform into literally anything that they want. And I loved what they did with the Rent set. I feel like it was very reminiscent of, like, a little bit of off-Broadway, a little bit of on-Broadway, very industrial, which is very Rent.
Like, scaffolding.
Scaffolding. The levels that they had, I thought, was really good. The way that they used the elevator lift, I thought, was so smart in more ways than one. We'll talk about one that literally killed me later in this episode. But they really, like, used their stage. And then what's just so mind-blowing crazy to me is, like, we're reading this program and, like, Much Ado About Nothing played there at 2 p.m. and we saw it at Rent at 8 p.m. I'm like, what does that stage look
what
like?
What does the stage look like?
I have so many questions. Stafford is back to a full in rep season this year, which is very exciting. So to think that, you know, you could see a Shakespeare at 2 p.m. and then rock out to Rent at 8 is wild to me.
A lot of the cast of Rent is either in A Wrinkle in Time or Richard III.
Yeah.
So if you want to catch the same actors in two shows, that's what you'd have to see. I love when, a few years ago, when we saw Billy Elliot and Little Shop in the same day, because it was the exact same cast.
Yeah.
And getting to see the actors. This is, like, one of the beautiful parts of Stratford, or any kind of festival where things are people are cast in multiple shows, where I always think when I see something like that, I'm like, this is acting.
Yeah.
This is performance.
No, it's so true. There's only, like, a few dates that you can see Rent and Spamalot, both musicals, at the same time. So, all of these actors are doing, like, straight plays, which is kind of exciting. Okay, what do we want to talk about here? Music, characters, like, where are we going? Because I feel like there is so much to talk about with these performances in general.
Well, let's talk Rent. Let's talk about this Stratford production of Rent specifically. So if there's, let's talk about performances, I think. And then I think we can talk maybe about Rent generally.
Okay, let's start. I feel like right out of the gate, we were really set up for a high energy performance with Rent itself.
Yeah.
I loved the use of all of the ensemble. I thought the choreography was like really fun, like kind of
I liked
like,
it as
grungy.
Well.
Yeah. And I think this really set us up to be like, oh man, we're about to have a vocal masterclass from every single person in this cast. It's actually like wild. I've read a bunch of different reviews that are not behind a paywall of the Stratford production of Rent. And the main note from all of us is that this production specifically of Rent is spectacularly sung. Yes. Every single person is bringing their A game and the vocals are outrageous. And even like after when we spoke to Robert, I was like, you guys sound so healthy. Everyone sounds so good. It's like, it's really crazy. But they're not performing 8 times a week. So like, I kind of understand.
They get that vocal health. They get to, vocal rest. Get to preserve. Yeah, no, they sound fantastic. The standout to me vocally was Andrea Macassette, sorry to everyone else. When she sang, when you meet her for the first time, when you meet Mimi for the first time, and she sings Light My Candle with Roger, just the riffs, she was the tone.
It's a song that
everything.
Like, it's kind of talk singy, but when Andrea was singing it, you turned to me and you were like, vocals.
I came home the next day and I was talking to my mom and I was like, she has the most amazing voice. My mom was like, you say that about everybody. It doesn't mean anything anymore. I was like, no, but this is true this time. It's true. She's like, you can't say it about everybody. It has to have meaning. Words have meaning. And I mean, like, but she does have the most amazing voice.
We already knew because we have been so lucky to see Andrea Macassette in Six playing Anne Boleyn. I've seen her twice because we saw her in Chicago and then I saw her on Broadway. But this is a completely different...
it's a different characterization.
It's a different characterization. It's also like a different, I would say, like vocal technique. Like, I've never heard her sing like this before.
No. I mean, Anne Boleyn is a quicker, like spunkier almost. This is like more sultry, if you will. I always think of... when we saw Six in Chicago and her song, Don't Lose Your Head, Sorry Not Sorry, at the end she does that Demi Lovato, I'm not sorry. And no other, like, the cast recording from the UK does not have that.
But it's on the new US one.
It is on the new US one because it's her. But we heard her do it one time and it was so memorable, her doing it one time. Every time we heard that song, we're like, I'm not sorry. Like, she has the ability to just create such memorable vocal moments.
This is kind of how I feel for, so like, what you were discussing a little bit earlier with Another Day. Like, she goes up an octave during this, and I'm like, why? How? But great, keep going. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. Like, it was crazy. And then also, like, her Out Tonight... she is like crystal, crystal clear singing that song. And then To Me, which is a song that I don't like live for on a daily basis, but like Without You? Sorry, what?
I love Without You. I love Without You. I do live for Without You. I love Without You.
But she sounded so good. Like, she just sounded amazing. And she is not doing two shows this season, so she really does get the opportunity.
She's healthy.
Like, rest those vocal cords, and I am thankful for that because we get the vocal performances that she's giving in Rent. Like, she's wonderful in this. Like, she is really, really great in this. But I don't know. I wonder what's next for her. Like, I wonder if she will try to go back to the States after this is over. Six will be in Toronto by the time this is over. So is she going to make a guest appearance? Like, who knows?
I remember being surprised, like pleasantly surprised, when I saw the casting announcement for Rent in Stratford. I was like, this is exciting. Love her, think she'll be great in this, and she was but I do remember it being very surprising. I wonder what the audition process was like what she was casting the net out to Canadian shows when she was auditioning.
Yeah,
or was she recruited?
No, I know. So many questions.
I have questions, but I'm so happy we ended up here because I'm so happy to have heard her sing those songs and give that performance.
Yeah. Okay. Other performances. Should we talk about Robert Marcus? Is this the time?
Yes. Let's talk.
Okay. So as you know, if you've listened to this podcast, we are huge fans of Robert Marcus. He is so, so talented. And we got the chance to finally meet him in person after interviewing him last year virtually. He's so lovely, like, so nice, the nicest man. It was so nice to meet him in person, and also, like, meeting him after the show and seeing how high energy he was after we had just spent, like, an hour crying. I was like, oh my god, I can't even believe that this
And he'd done two
right
shows
now.
That day, he told and us. He'd done a Wrinkle in Time in the afternoon.
Yeah.
What a day.
I do want to say before we get into his performance that we did talk to him because if you remember, we've posted this on our social media a few times, but when we interviewed him last year, I manifested that I wanted him to play Mark and Rent, and we received the information that the day of our podcast interview was the day of his final callback, or just regular callback, for Rent. And again, Robert, if you're listening, why didn't you cancel on us? Like, what? We are not important at all. Like, I can't believe you did a callback and then
we were
did a podcast
distraction.
Recording.
We were a good distraction, maybe.
It's just wild to me because at the time he also told us, but he did not give us information. We also did not ask that they have already auditioned for next season. So it happened.
I really
quite...
felt I held restrained by not asking any questions.
I was going to look at you, but I felt like if I looked at you, you would have asked. And it's a good thing that I didn't because yeah,
I really exercised. I really held that in.
But it is funny to get
like insight into, you know, we hear what the shows are, let's say in the
press
fall,
releases.
Usually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then casting is usually not till, let's say,
end
much later.
Yeah. Sometimes.
And then
not
rehearsals
the,
start in February.
The year of, yeah.
But to know, I think maybe that's someone we should be looking to talk to is someone who's programming a season to talk about what the process is. When are we making decisions? How are we deciding what to program per season? Because mm-hmm. I think that's really like a really interesting choice to know that, you know, for us, Rent has just started. And like the season is, we're just midway through this Stratford season, let's say. But they're already thinking a year ahead, maybe 2 years ahead. We don't even know.
Yeah. Like the day that we talked to him, he was singing Halloween in the morning and then talking to us about Chicago at night as if like no time had passed. Like it's truly wild. Also, while we're here, I don't know if we've publicly said it on a podcast, but like congratulations to Robert and Jen on their upcoming baby. Jen is still performing in Spamalot and Rent is on until the end of October. I think Spamalot is too. But they were just in a Toronto Star interview together. And if all goes to plan, it seems like Robert will be taking off next season and Jen will hopefully be performing. So we'll see what happens next season.
Yeah. Like, absolutely love that the festival, that she is performing for as long as she can in the festival.
Yeah,
love that for her, but love that from the festival as well.
Yeah. It's really great. Okay, let's talk about Robert.
Keep it moving. Go ahead.
Mark, I feel like, is a super important character to the show. As you said at the beginning of the episode, he's kind of like our narrator. And I feel like if you don't have someone that can hold that role, it's kind of like detrimental to the rest of the show. And
he's almost, sorry not to interrupt, but he's almost also the Jonathan Larson insert, if you will.
Yes.
I was saying that there's parts of Jonathan and people he knew in many of the characters, but the one that is maybe the most Jonathan-like is Mark, the observer.
Yeah. Yeah.
The create, like they're all artists, but the one documenting what he's seeing.
This is due to the inside baseball we get of Tick, Tick, Boom. Like that's how
yes,
I feel.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you don't have a strong Mark, I feel like it really could set your show up for failure. And to nobody's surprise, we have a very strong Mark in Robert Marcus. I want to say that this is the best I've ever seen him in all levels acting. Vocally, like, what is... I don't even know what's going on. I read an article today that said that, like, Robert has such clarity and technique to his vocal performance. And I'm like, this is so true. Which is also really important for a narrator character because if you can't fully understand what they're saying, back to Hermes from
last episode. Let's refer to the previous episode. Let's refer to that.
you lose the plot. And Robert is so crystal clear in every single note that he sings. Even when he's riffing, I can hear every word that he's saying. But what really, like, stood out to me was the, like, showy performances in this production. Like, his La Vie Boheme was ridiculous in the best way possible.
He's having a good time. Everyone's having a good time, but he's specifically having a really good time. It comes across. Maybe he's not, but it comes across like he's having a really good time. Like, he's truly, like, can't believe I get to do this every night.
Yeah.
Can't believe I get to sing these songs and get to, like, party with everyone here for all of these things. It's also, you know, the whole show is heavy in a way, but Mark does not get as heavy of material as maybe some of the other characters do.
No.
So
sometimes he's giving us the comedic moments that we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's almost like,
especially in Act Two.
Yes. He's almost like a foil for the drama. You know, Mark doesn't really have a love interest in the show, whereas all the other characters are going through romances. He's, you know, the non-triangle with Maureen and Joanne, but he's kind of, we're over it by then. So he really gets to be, you know, the foil, the bound, like, everyone else's relationship gets to bounce off of his character. And yeah, something that we noticed that was kind of interesting was, we know Robert has such a great vocal range, he can sing so high, but because he's playing Mark, he's usually in the Roger Mark duets taking the lower part, which he also sounds so beautiful in.
Yeah.
But I was like, let's go up. Swap. Hi.
Let's do both. I want to hear it both. Give me what you want, both ranges. I want to hear it. I know you can do it.
Do it with yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I wanted. But he sounded so great, and even his, like, lower tone was so rich.
The other thing that we learned, he is wearing prescription glasses on stage. Which,
that's very relatable to me, honestly.
Well, he told us that for A Wrinkle in Time, he's not wearing glasses, so he's just like...
That's also relatable to me.
Blind.
Honestly, okay, speaking from personal experience, when I was a competitive dancer, I was wearing prescription glasses, but I wouldn't wear them on stage. I would just kind of, like, put them in my bag before we went out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of go for it. You rely on muscle memory.
Yeah.
And also, you can see people... Mm-hmm. But, like, you don't need to see people's facial expressions.
No, it's fine.
When you're doing this,
you don't need to. Better that way.
You're not reading anything. And also, the lights were so bright, you're not really paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
You see enough. You see enough.
Right.
So, sounds great.
Okay, who next? Who are we talking about next?
Well, should we talk about the emotional core of this story?
I don't know if I'm ready. Should we go to Maureen first and then come back?
Okay. Maureen. Okay, let's talk about Maureen. I forgot that we have to talk about this star. I should talk about the star, Erica.
We haven't talked about Roger at all.
Sorry, we'll get to him. The star, the actual star of the show. Sorry, Maureen. I'm flipping through my program. Played by Erica Peck, who you hold back Maureen until you meet her in the song "Over the Moon," which I have always loved. In the original Broadway cast, played by Idina Menzel, who obviously went on to do many things, but. It is, because it's performance art, the actress always is able to just kind of be set free, but you have to kind of keep the audience in the palm of your hand the entire time.
Like, you have specific scripting moments that you need to hit, but it is improv.
It needs to feel like improv. It needs to feel improvised. It needs to feel... It's natural. Such a specific tone to... walk, like this tightrope of this song to walk, because this character is clearly so absurd, but you also need to be on her side. You need to agree with her. You need to be like, you're absolutely right.
And also,
you're absolutely right.
It is such a different song tonally than the rest of the score.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere, kind of.
It's like it's a sung monologue, but it's outrageous, basically.
It is outrageous. It is one of the songs that is diegetic. Leap of faith, a leap. Only thing to do. No, I was cackling the whole time. And can we talk about the audience we had on Saturday night?
We had a great audience.
We had an amazing audience. We had an amazing audience that night. So if you've ever seen Rent before, you know that during that song, Maureen turns to the audience and she says, "Moo with me."
We are supposed to be at the protest. Like, we are a part of the protest at that moment. Yeah.
She turns to everyone and she says, "Moo with me." But before she could even do that, someone from, like, the back in the balcony was like, "Moo." And she's like, "Yes! Yes! Moo with me." And then we're all like, "Moo." You know when you have a good audience when the whole audience is mooing.
Yeah.
You really know.
Yeah.
you've achieved what you needed to achieve when everyone is reluctantly or non-reluctantly mooing.
No, it's true. She was great. Her voice is stellar. Like, even Take Me or Leave Me, so good. The Joanne, I'm also... Are you open on the page? Who's playing Joanne? I am.
Olivia Sinclair Brisbane.
Beautiful voice.
Yes. This is her Stratford debut.
Oh. I loved her and Robert doing Tango Maureen also. I thought they were so good.
That was really
together.
Funny. Such good choreography.
So good together.
Robert was so funny in that.
Robert was really funny in that. He almost choked himself out that? With his scarf, but he was really good in that.
It was really, really well choreographed. I thought it really worked really well, that song.
Okay, before we get to our two people here, let's talk about Roger a bit. Colton Stewart, who... I was going to say was in, what was the movie? Disenchanted, which we have not seen. And he was also in Sneakerella, which we have also not seen.
Sorry.
But he is playing our Roger. So cute. He's really cute. I think he sounds like...
So long.
So long and lanky. Which is, I mean, Robert is not like super short, but he's definitely shorter than Colton.
Yeah.
I thought he sounded like Shawn Mendes.
Once you said that in Act 2, I was like, okay, I hear it. I liked him a lot. I liked his Roger a lot.
Yeah, he had really good chemistry with Andrea as well.
Yeah, they were sweet. And also, he's so tall, and Andrea's really tiny.
Teeny tiny. She's teeny, teeny. She's
little.
Tiny.
Her little feet. Her feet are so small.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that juxtaposition of them was like really funny.
Yeah.
But like
Standouts for him, I would say, are like Another Day. Obviously, like One Song Glory is everyone's favorite Roger song.
What was the opposite of a standout?
Your Eyes.
We'll get to Your Eyes. We'll talk about Your Eyes.
Okay, let's get to the two that we've been waiting for. So this is the Angel and Collins storyline. Angel played by Steph, tell me. I found it. Nestor Lorenzo Jr. and Collins played by Lee Siegel. I've seen Rent on stage twice. This is my third time seeing Rent on stage. I saw Rent in 2010 when Mirvish brought it back with Anthony Rapp and Adam Pascal.
That was the tour, right? That was the tour. Like the anniversary tour?
It was such a weird experience because it was like, these are the two guys. Like, this feels so weird that I'm seeing.
But also, they were like really old.
Yeah, but it was fine because vocally it still hits. Like, it was fine. And then I saw like a community theater production of Rent that my vocal teacher from high school was like a director of, and like the class went to support. So,
that's nice.
Saw that. Never in my life have I been so invested in an Angel Collins storyline, and that is all credit to these two. In this specific production of Rent. From the moment that Collins started singing, I don't even know what that song, I think it's like Rent at the beginning of Rent when he just is like on the phone right before he gets like mugged. As soon as Lee Siegel opened his mouth, I immediately thought, oh, I am in great hands for the rest of this show because vocally,
yes,
damn, those vocals are so good. And then so rich. And then as soon as like Nestor comes up from the lift as Angel in the gorgeous Christmas outfit, also the wigs, like the wig department, really serving.
They have their names in here. Let me shout out the wigs. Head of wigs and makeup, Gerald Altenberg. Shout out to you. Head of wigs and makeup at the festival, Tracy Frayne. Shout out to you.
Yes, truly shout out. I just knew that every single scene that they had together, you could tell that like we were on the journey of their relationship. We were really building up this relationship, and so successfully, because when it all comes crumbling down, like I've never felt that way ever about that couple. Obviously standouts, Today for You, so good. The Girls Behind Us were like catcalling Angel. It was very fun.
It was a good audience.
It was a good audience. Obviously, I'll Cover You, like the original I'll Cover You. So great. And then when we get into Act Two and we go through Angel's like HIV process, we get Contact, which Contact is like maybe also out of place in this show, but there's something about it that I love because it's kind of wild.
Contact should be cut. Sorry about that. I thought it worked better here than I've ever seen it work before, but goodbye. get out.
Yeah, it was
just go from without you to the death.
They cut it for the movie because it didn't like work, and I understand it not working.
It's worked. It's like a little bit of a dream sequence in this production.
Yeah.
Of angels, but I think it's fine to have Mimi and Roger. I mean, when I say it's fine, obviously, but when to have Mimi and Roger sing without you, and then in the background you have Collins like taking care of Angel, and then
like Maureen kind of, and Joanne like fighting, but they could do it silently, I guess.
Yeah, we actually don't need them. Sorry,
like, you need them for the moment that I'm about to talk about. It's like important for that. Like at the end of Contact, everyone is under a sheet, right? And it's done that way, like on off Broadway, it was done that way on Broadway. But there's something about that moment when everyone is, I mean, I guess you could just have them all say it, but when everyone is under the sheet saying, it's over, it's over, it's over. And then what I thought was like the most beautiful stage trick that they did in this production was the elevator lift is now like in the ground to basically represent a grave, and the cloth goes into the ground, and you just hear Colin say, it's over. And then we get the notes of I'll Cover Your Prize, and I will never recover from that. The devastation that I felt.
Obviously, that's like a really not fun, but it's a good, you know, the way
it's a good
that
staging trick.
No, like the way that words have different meanings, and then they change the meaning each time someone says it, and it changes from, you know, the relationships are over to, you know, this person's life is over. That's beautiful, but I don't know if it's worth having Contact in. I would just go straight from without you to having him just like, or having Angel, having them just die at the end of Without You and go straight into I'll Cover Your Reprise. Now, you could maybe say that that would make Act Two really dark. Like, Contact is one of the only up moments of Act Two. But I think that needs to be solved in another way and not with Contact.
Although, we'll never change this.
It's just so out of place. Said, I know.
It's frozen.
It's frozen.
It's frozen.
But it's just so out of place. It's so bizarre.
It's almost like they need a different way to, like, go into the dream sequence, because it does feel a little bit jarring to...
Yeah, you're just like, sorry, how did we get here?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, because
what
you
are these costumes?
Yeah, the costumes there a little much. Nestor sounds great, though, like, vocalizing in the background. They sounded amazing.
Probably my favorite angel I've ever seen.
Oh, ever.
Yeah. Really made that character work. Yeah. Because sometimes they're a little... I don't know. I don't know if they always work 100%. Yeah. But...
This version of I'll Cover Your Prize, obviously, I love Jesse L. Martin singing it. I even loved Brandon Buster Dixon singing it. I thought Rent Tapes was really good. But Lee Siegel's version of this song was so emotional. Mm-hmm. We were like, I couldn't stop wiping tears. I literally, like the three of us, I were just wiping tears left, right, and center. The people behind me were blowing their nose. I was like, oh, we're all devastated by
this. It's so sad.
It's so sad. I thought what they did was so amazing with the staging when everybody comes out to like give their little tidbit about Angel, and then they throw the flowers into the grave. And then at
they
the
didn't
end,
throw the flowers in.
Sorry, they didn't throw them. They're holding them. And then
I was
the
like,
end,
throw them in. I really thought they should throw them in.
Well, but yeah, I guess maybe they just need a second set of flowers. But then Collins like collects the flowers at the end before we go into like goodbye, love. But man, was he wailing that song in the best way possible. Like I like think about that performance all the time. I love that song. It's like no secret that I like truly love that song. It's one of my favorite songs in like musical theater history. I love it so much. So to not be disappointed by that performance when that song like means a lot to me was like the highlight on an already fantastic production of Rent.
Sometimes I think about watching actors do a show. I am not an actor, but you know, when you have a big, let's say Act Two moment that you need to perform, you have to get through the whole show until that moment. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think about the anticipation of having to do that every night.
And intermission. You got to wait 20 minutes too.
Yeah.
That.
You know, they're, when you have like really difficult or really emotional moments that you need to hit during a show, but you can't just jump straight to it. You have to kind of like, you have to go on the journey with the character before you get to that, and you have to pace yourself for it. And I think that's what's so interesting and difficult and fascinating about theater acting is that, you know, when you film a movie or a TV show, let's say, you can be like, okay, today we're doing the hard scene, and you can just prepare for just that scene for that day.
Yeah.
It depends. But But for a show, for a theater, you have to go on the entire journey every single time. You mm-hmm. can't just do that one moment. You have to start at the beginning of their journey and make your way towards your big moment or the stressful moment every time.
But I love that about theater. Agree. And I also feel like one of the reasons, like, I mean, vocally, truly out of control what he was doing. But I feel like one of the reasons that it was so good to me is because, as you were saying about, like, going through that journey, it felt so earned. That mm-hmm. song felt like this is a cathartic relief. I'm just going to sing about my feelings. Mm-hmm. So because we were so invested, I feel like you were invested too on the Angel yeah, Collins, yeah. like, journey. Like, because
loved.
I was so invested all the way through, I'm like, oh, you earned the right to sing this song. And mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that. Like, I'm happy that we got to see that full journey to get this moment. But it's so true. Like, Act Two of Rent is really rough. And you got to, like, do that again and again and again. A la Hadestown. We're going to sing it again and again.
We're going to sing it again. That is theater. Yeah, to me, you know, at the end of the show, they're singing No Day But Today, reprise B. Whatever,
Finale
No Day
B.
But Today, B. Finale B, whatever it's called, Finale B, and Angel comes out on the stairs. Like, that is actually, so the whole time you've been crying, but when Angel comes out and is like, I'm here, that is the actually emotional wreck moment of the entire show.
Not even that. Let's talk about what I think is one of the greatest parts of this musical. No vocals, no nothing. Angel comes out, and then we get the documentary, in quotes, which is...
No, the Angel comes out after the documentary.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. It's right before Angel comes out.
Like, Mark is showing his movie.
Is the rehearsal footage? Killed me.
It starts with footage of them in character, and then it cuts to them rehearsing Rent. And it's not just the actors that we're seeing. We're seeing
the
behind-the-scenes people, the crew, direct... I don't even know who we're seeing. We're seeing everybody that was involved. It's stunning. And then you're just like, art. This is art.
And then Angel like, comes out. And if you weren't already crying, then I'm going to make you even more emotional, because then the ensemble cast comes out with this beautiful, for YouTube viewers, here is the quilt that's in the program. This, like, beautiful AIDS quilt. And I read today, which I had no idea, and now it means even more, that this AIDS quilt seen in Rent is designed by Brendan Kleinman, created by the Stratford Festival Props Department, and memorializes real people with the names of loved ones and friends connected to the festival. Like, it's not just a random quilt that was created by the costume department. Like, this is Stratford actors or family members or whoever that were affected by HIV and AIDS. And I'm like, that is such a lovely way to end your show. Wow, we made it so far without,
so
like, a
sad.
Tear falling.
It's so sad. Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about this after we saw Rent, because there is a lot of art. I don't know if a lot, but there is quite a bit of art created about kind of the HIV AIDS crisis in, you know, the world that happened in, like, you know, the 80s and 90s. Rent is kind of, like, one of the big things, but I'm also thinking of Falsettos. I'm thinking of Angels in America. I'm thinking of The Normal Heart. Am I right?
Normal Heart. Yeah.
Normal Heart. Because it was a disease that's so disproportionately affected gay men, who make up a huge part of the theater community, that the theater community was one of the biggest affected communities affected by HIV and AIDS, and that the theater community lost so many people to this disease. And that we have all this, like, great art created about it, but thinking about all the art that we won't get to see because of, wow, now we're, like, really getting into it. This is, but thinking about all the great art that we won't get to see because many communities, but specifically the theater community, lost so many artists to this. Anyway, it's so sad. Anyway, the show is so sad.
Wow, tears truly about to fall from my eyes. This
tears
is the first.
Are going.
This is
okay,
first
let's talk
me.
About let's talk about why Rent is kind of bad. Let's go.
Yeah, let's get into it. Stop let's crying for this one. I will say let's the funniest thing to me as we back up here, but like,
yeah. Pull
so,
back, rewind.
You know, I'm crying after I'll cover your prize. I'm crying all the way through Goodbye Love. And then we get to the overdose scene, which should be sad. You're like, oh my God, Mimi is overdosing. Like, she's not going to hear Roger's song. Who cares? Who cares that she's not going to hear Roger's song? And then she, like, dies for a second. She sees the light.
She says that she sees Angel and she looks good.
And Angel's she like, says, that boy's good.
She says, you turn around and listen to that boy's song. And I'm like, really? We don't need to turn around and listen to that boy's song.
There's multiple parts of this that are just like horrible, like so bad. One, the song is Your Eyes.
So good.
I know. One, that the song is Your Eyes. I will always think, we've talked about this being incomplete. To me, that's a placeholder song. To me, that's a song that
I had to guess,
Jonathan Larson would have put something else in there. Because One Song Glory, which we hear in Act One, is significantly better than Your Eyes. It feels just like a generic, bland song, and it would not revive me from death.
You don't know.
I don't know. Depends who's singing it. And then we have Mimi having to say truly the most tragically horrible lines. Like, I cringe. I get embarrassed for the actor having to say these lines. She really sold it. She did her best. But I was like, I can't believe they're making actors say these words.
So
I can't believe they're making this scene happen.
It's so true. Like, but then it's crazy because as we had just like cried You get into finale A and then you get into finale B and I'm like,
yeah. We're crying.
So good.
We're emotional. But that scene is maybe one of the worst things. It's so bad.
It is true. I do think you're right that it is a placeholder because at the beginning of One Song Glory, Roger sings, I'm writing one great song before I, and then we go into like, bam, 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 bam. And it's like, okay, but he comes back and sings that again. I'm writing one great song. I'm like, that's a different tune than Your Eyes.
Should it sound like what he's been trying to write?
Should it sound a bit like One Song Glory? Yes. Unless One Song Glory, I don't know. It's a little confusing. There are also, as we continue to like back up and really talk about the worst parts of Rent, some of the lyrics that were written, which I understand a lot of it is like sung through. It's like talk singy, but is it 100% sung through? No.
I would say like 95% sung through. I would consider this a rock opera. Like I really would.
Yeah. But like you have Roger singing lines like, who do you think you are barging in on me and my guitar? That's a horrible lyric. But here we are.
Yeah. But you know what? It's okay.
What about tell us your favorite one from Another Day?
Another Day. Take your powder. Take your candle. Take your sweet smell, your brown eyes, your pretty smell, your silhouette. Yeah, take your brown eyes, your pretty smell, your silhouette. For the longest time, I thought it was cigarette.
Your cigarette.
Yeah. Your cigarette. But I think it's funnier that it's silhouette. But I actually don't think that's bad. I love that. it is bad, but I love
both
it.
Both you and Char forgot about in between La Vie Boheme A and B of Roger and Mimi singing.
I should tell you,
which okay. I like that song, but like the lyrics.
I literally forget it exists every time.
I should tell you, I've got baggage too. Should tell you baggage. Like that's what they say.
I learned something interesting earlier today. I was watching this documentary. I believe it's on the DVD of the Rent movie. And when Jonathan Larson was first, he was collaborating with someone else on a musical adaptation of La Boheme. He ended up doing it by himself because he had, but I Should Tell You is one of the first three songs that he wrote for this. So
really?
It was in like the very first iteration.
Well, I mean, we do get it as a motif,
theme,
like all the way through.
The theme is throat. Yeah. But like that, I should tell you, that was like one of the first things that he wrote for Rent.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
How do you feel? Okay, the ending of La Boheme.
La Vie Boheme.
Mimi. No. Oh, the La musical.
Boheme.
The opera. The opera La Boheme.
Okay.
The
ending
of La Boheme. Mimi does die. And so we have they've opted in Rent to have Mimi miraculously live. For how long? Who knows? How do we feel about that?
I actually think, not to like be morbid, but I actually think she should die.
Yeah, I kind of am with you. I'm of two minds of this, but yes, go on.
I think it would like almost give Roger the wake-up call that he needs. By her living, he kind of goes back into that same like cycle of like, not that she made him get back into drug use, but she obviously wasn't clean and he was. Mm-hmm. And that was something that he struggled with, that he didn't want to be. He didn't want to see her brown eyes, her silhouette.
Her pretty smile, her silhouette.
Her pretty smile, because he was afraid that it would take him back to the time that he had with his like ex-girlfriend and basically like watching her die. Now, I think they probably didn't have her die because then Roger would
have that trauma twice in a row, that like he watches two of his girlfriends like overdose.
I think they really wanted to end on an up. They didn't want to end on the down. They wanted to end on the up. We have Angel dying like midway through act two. That's the down. And we have time to kind of lift ourselves back up by the end.
But the way that she doesn't die is just so unrealistic.
It's silly. It's
that
silly.
I almost wish that like she was how long, to a like, hospital.
How long do we think? Like, how long do we think she's going to live after this? Like, how long do we think she's going
to
live after
this? Well, are we to assume that they, like, immediately take her to a rehab? Because it is insinuated that, like, Benny would pay for rehab during Goodbye Love when she was already starting to go through this. I don't think she ever
went. Thought he'd paid for it earlier.
Went.
Yeah, probably not, because they found her, like, homeless in the park.
Yeah, so I don't think because at the end of Goodbye Love, like, she says, like, is there, or Mark says, is there a rehab? She says, could you? Benny says, I'll pay. And then she runs off. So I don't think we ever see her go to rehab. So
yeah, because the time is jumping. Act two, this is the other thing. Act two is really sloppy. I think it doesn't hang together well. I think act one hangs together really well. Mm-hmm. The structure of act one is good. Act two, it's hard to follow timeline where we are. We're giving like holidays, we're giving seasons. They're telling us where we are in the year. But I think it's quite disjointed and it's hard to follow a little bit where our characters are at any given point.
Yeah.
And that's part of that. Like, where was Mimi for months? Where was Roger? Roger moved and then he immediately moves back. Dumb. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that like act one flows well, but also at the same time, I'm like, these people just met. It's been 24 hours and we're already talking about like, marriage, basically.
It opens with like December 21st, 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the end of Act 1 is like just past Christmas. Midnight, I think. Like,
yeah.
And it's begin. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
No, it's crazy. It's okay, absolutely
why? What
crazy.
Do you think should happen at the end of Rent?
Well, I think she should die.
Yeah.
But I...
Sorry, girl.
I don't... Like, I think she should die. But at the same time, we want to end on an up. And I don't quite know how I'd make that scene work either, which might have been the problem. They didn't know how to make it work with her dying.
I mean, now that I'm like thinking about it, which I think is the wrong way. Don't think about it, because if you don't think about it, then you're like, again, standing ovation, like we did this. But like after that near death experience, Mark is like, watch my movie, you know?
Yeah, like, he's like, look at all the video I've taken of you over the past year. And it's like, bro, not the
maybe
time.
Maybe go to a hospital. Maybe she should not get like her time. System pumped or something. Yeah, like not we don't need to see what you've made in the last year.
It's funny. Like read the room, Mark. Read the room.
But Mark does seem like the kind of person that he's like, guys, me. Focus on me.
Read the room.
Another thing about that, like viewing of the rehearsal footage plus like the quilt plus Angel coming out. Another time when we were fully exposed with the house lights.
I know, the house lights. They kept turning them on. I like to be in darkness. I don't want to be seen.
Well, not when I'm crying. I don't want to be seen when I'm crying.
I remember when I saw Next to Normal many years ago, 10 plus years ago, in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And at the ending, I was absolutely a wreck. I was sobbing. And I was with my friend, and she turns to me to hug me. And I was like, don't touch me. I want to be in my feelings. I want to just be solo in my emotions. I want to feel it. That's what I'm here for. I don't want to be comforted. I don't want to feel that. I want to feel angst right now.
Which is why I was like, why did you ask him if he saw us?
Because I need to know. Because I could feel him looking at
I told you, me and him like made eye contact to be like, I know you're like, here. But like, that was
people
enough.
People were like clapping along to Seasons of Love, and I was just like silently like a statue because I was like a wreck. I was a wreck. Everyone else was like,
it's time now to sing a star never
ends. But honestly, if you go see Rent in Stratford, like clap along. They during that moment, like they want you to during over the like that they're looking for a bit of that audience interaction. That
I will say I agree with you. This is a show that like although not to call
not
the
too
people
much.
Sitting beside you that are like mouthing the lines before they happen.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that. But they are looking for a little bit of audience interaction. And I think, I mean, I'll know when I go see it again in a couple weeks.
Are you doing a matinee?
No, Friday night.
Oh, a Friday night. Okay, a Friday night's good.
Yeah. But I'll be, it's interesting because I felt that the cast fed off of our audience.
Yeah.
You could feel the energy right off the top. Truly right off the top.
Yeah.
So it is kind of nice if you bring that energy to the theater. I would also say that like if you're a Rent lover, obviously go see this. But if you've never seen Rent, never heard of it, like go.
this is a good like exposure.
Experience
to
it. Experience it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the messy, the fantastic, the incredible, everything. Like you gotta be there on the journey for all of the ups and downs.
You really do. I agree. Like, yeah, like I think this is a perfect first like live version of Rent for me to have seen.
Especially this production. Yeah.
It's a great production.
Yeah.
Before we like end it, I do want to talk about my actual favorite lyric from the show.
Okay.
But I think it's in, what song is it in?
Your Eyes.
No, it's in What You Own. It's in What You Own, which is like probably my favorite song from Rent. It's not in Your Eyes. Sorry about that. Sorry to Your Eyes defenders, but not on this podcast.
Who's it Your Eyes defender? I've never heard one person know. That's like,
I've never met a Your Eyes defender. I've never met a Your Eyes defender. You're so right. But my favorite lyric from the show is I don't own emotion, I rent. Which one like brings in that title.
Yeah.
But it's also like everything you feel like is not permanent. You know, nothing that you experience, anything is permanent. This, how I feel right now will not be how I feel tomorrow. This grief that I'm feeling will like, it's not part of me. It is just like a stage, a phase. And like that lyric to me stands out, especially when this musical about grief, about like hard times that people are facing. That lyric to me is like, I don't know, it stands out. It's my favorite. I think it's like such a good, I think it's such a good line, and it encapsulates what Rent is about to me.
I just think about like whenever we talk about lyrics, I'm just like, what the world could have been if we had more Jonathan Larson, you know? Like
so
what
true.
What could we have seen?
No, it's so true.
I will never know, which is devastating, but also kind of like perfect in its own way. Like he put out this like crazy cult following show that everyone has resonated with, and mm-hmm. that's it. And
he,
that's enough.
He will probably live longer than me or you through his art. Through,
oh, yeah.
Like, the work that he created. You know, he died young, but the life that his art and his creation has had has inspired so many people and will be performed beyond what we could probably even imagine now. And I think, like, that's another way for, like, his work and his life to, like, live on.
I know it's something that can be said for like many shows, but it really mm-hmm. is exciting to me that there are young people out there that are seeing this for the first time, because even though it's 27 years old, it's based off of a 100-year-old opera. Like there are themes in this that are so important today. The representation of the LGBTQ+ community in 1996 is
yes.
wild, and the fact that it was that talked about then, and it's like just to see how far and how not far the world has come in that sense. Like look at what's going on, and it's just reminded me from like literally this past weekend of like we went to a drag show and hearing mm-hmm. about how in we the did. States that like drag culture is not welcomed, like
is being performing in drag is being banned in certain places. You would yeah. not be able to perform Rent in certain places.
Exactly.
Because of this ban.
So the fact that like these characters existed 27 years ago and all of this is still happening 27 years later, and all that to say, I never thought that we would see Rent on a Stratford stage because that audience
It doesn't seem to fit the...
Everyone that lives in Stratford typical. Seems like they have lived in Stratford their entire lives. They walk to the theater. They are above the age of 65. And the fact that people are making the trek to Stratford to see this specific performance of Rent, like, I love that this has inspired young people to go back to the theater. I really do.
Yeah, it's true, because for Stratford, for a lot of festivals and stuff, the audience that it skews to is a subscription audience a lot of the time, which definitely skews older. So yeah. Rent is not something that I would typically expect them to program for a season.
No.
So yeah, I'd be super interested to read why it was selected for this year.
But I'm thrilled.
I'm absolutely thrilled. Especially something like Spamalot, which definitely seems more in line with what I would expect them to be performing.
Musical-wise. Shakespeare's...
The plays, the Shakespeare's, absolutely. But and then they also do a lot of plays, not necessarily Shakespeare's. They do a lot of things, and there's usually children's shows. But yeah, Rent is the one that sticks out to me as something that I would not expect Stratford to really do.
Yeah.
So, love that for them.
I know. Okay, should we rate it?
Oh my goodness.
I'm like the shock as if we don't do this every episode.
I forgot.
Now.
I forgot. Okay, are we rating this production of Rent?
I think
or
this
are we
specific
this production.
Of production. Rent.
Okay,
yeah.
Because it's hard. It's hard.
Because I think the rating of Rent as a whole would be much lower than this specific production.
It's hard. It's hard.
Although,
it's
really hard. Again, yeah. I do like live for Rent. So
I know you live for Rent. But yeah, this is one of those ones that like Rent is a show. We always talk about shows that can be elevated by productions or can survive bad productions.
True.
And Rent, I don't know if it can necessarily survive a bad production all the time. I mean, the songs are the songs, the music is the music, but the plot is the plot. Okay, I'm gonna give this specific production of Rent 9 out of 10 Mark Scarfs. I feel like that's so high, but like I was sobbing. I was a wreck. I was an emotional wreck.
I thought I was like between 8 and 8.5 for you is what I thought.
I almost gave it an 8. I don't like to give half scores, though I definitely have given half scores in the past. I don't like to give half scores because then it's really out of 20.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to say 9 of Mark's scarves out of 10.
Okay. I am also giving this 9 out of 10 Mimi's candles. Not that I don't think that this is like a basically near perfect production of Rent, but you know, there's always things that you can change and nothing has gotten a 10 out of 10 yet. So
no.
We shall see.
I don't even know what we would ever give a 10 out of 10 to. But yeah, at the end of the day, someone still has to sell that final scene, and when we were laughing during it, and it's just it's hard.
Actually, one more shout out to, I don't remember her name, but one of the girls that was playing like Leap of Faith girl.
Leap of Faith.
The hard work that they were doing with the umbrellas.
The umbrellas.
You have to see it. You have to
the
see
guy.
The
okay, so the guy in Over the Moon
who also
hands
is one
like,
of the Seasons of Love singers.
Like soloists.
Yeah.
Like, she hands him an instrument and he's like, and then he's like lifting her. Oh, it was so funny.
Yeah. Great. Great. Oh, so good.
Such good comedy.
So yeah, if you haven't gotten for the last like hour of this episode, we love this production. Literally run to Stratford. If you live in Toronto, you can take a bus from Stratford round trip for $35, which is actually really cheap to do. And as I said earlier, there are always discounts for this production, any Stratford production. If you're going on a weekend, try and make a 2-show out of it because why not? You're there.
Absolutely.
And yeah, this is on stage until October 28th. I'm like so interested what next season is going to be, which I actually think we might find out towards the end of the
soon-ish.
Summer. Yeah, soon-ish.
Yeah, so we talked to Robert last year at the end of August, and we knew the next season was Rent already. So it's must be soonish.
We put out our season previews
September,
third-ish week of September. So we typically know what's going on. So yeah, press release. I mean, Coal Mine just released their press release today.
Yeah.
So I feel like things are slowly coming out, which is exciting.
It's very exciting.
That's our thoughts on Rent, and it's now time for our obsession of the week.
Okay, so obviously people know about the Barbie movie. Well, they know about the Barbenheimer, you know, phenomenon, but I only saw Barbie.
I've seen Barbenheimer.
Not on the same day, though.
Not on the same day.
I've only seen Barbie, and I will wait to watch Oppenheimer the way it is meant to be watched on a plane.
Which is actually the way it's not meant to be watched.
Christopher Nolan really sound mixed it for my like half broken headphones.
If you ever met him and you told him that you only watched his movies on a plane, I think he would actually he would laugh.
I saw Interstellar on my computer. With commercials.
What?
With commercials.
What did you watch?
I recorded it on the like DVR.
What channel was it on that had commercials? Like Hollywood.
I don't know, Space?
Like
it was all like Space
probably
channel
Space.
Or something.
R.I.P. Space, yeah.
I definitely watched The Prestige with no commercials, and I definitely saw Inception with no commercials. I think I have Inception on DVD. And then Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
Dream briefcase from Inception.
Oh wow.
The like box
That's
edition.
Pretty intense.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously I saw Tenet on the plane, which
recently.
Whatever. Recently. But anyway. What was I gonna say? So I saw Barbie. We saw it together. And I absolutely loved Barbie. But one of the things that I really loved about Barbie, and it's like tribute almost to classic movies and classic movie musicals. So Greta Gerwig, the director and co-screenwriter of the Barbie movie, she provided a list of 29 movies that inspired Barbie. It's on Letterboxd, so you can look at it. And by the end of the, there was a conversation, and she, there's actually five at the end that she kind of added that weren't in that original list. But they include such movies as The Wizard of Oz, An American in Paris, The Red Shoes. Greta Gerwig's favorite movie ever is Singing in the Rain. And that one is actually like the clearest comparison I can see, because the Dream Ballet in Singing in the Rain, where Sid Charisse and Gene Kelly are on that huge soundstage dancing. And then there's a huge Dream Ballet at the end of Barbie, where they're on a huge soundstage that looks so, so similar to the soundstage in Singing in the Rain. So that's like such a clear comparison, a clear direct parallel she's drawing. I saw an interview where she was talking about the movie The Red Shoes, where everything, all the like set in that movie looks real but fake. Like it's fake and real at the same time, which is, I think, a huge inspiration for Barbie Land in Barbie. Another one movie on this list, which I've talked about before, is The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and love that movie so, so, so much. And the most I see of that is in Margot Robbie's styling as Barbie. Her hair and her like... her outfits, particularly when she's in Barbieland at the beginning, are very like first act Catherine Deneuve in The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Other movies, All That Jazz is on this list, like the Bob Fosse semi-biopic about himself. His Girl Friday, I can see that in the, like, that's not a musical, but I can see that in the way the dialogue is in Barbieland, the way it's like doesn't sound quite real. Oklahoma is on this, like Woman on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. Charlie Chaplin movie, Modern Times is on it. Grease is on this. The Grease that reminds me of is when she's driving in the car for some reason.
No, it's the like the music video, Ryan Gosling and
the music. Yes, Ryan Gosling's like, yeah. And like Simu Liu's and everyone else's outfit in that Dream Ballet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, their styling. So I obviously love this movie, and I can see, you know, DNA of other movies and movie musicals that I also love in this movie. And I thought it was so great. And my big recommendation, one is the song I'm Just Ken, the musical number. 'Cause I'm just Ken, anywhere else I'd be a 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blood fragility? I'm just Ken. I can't even talk about... I've been listening to Push sung by Ryan Gosling so many times.
Oh my god, hilarious.
It's so funny. But I'm Just Ken, the big musical number at the end. It's a big like Dream Ballet. It goes from Push to I'm Just Ken to this kind of instrumental dance battle moment. And even though it's not strictly a musical, it takes so much inspiration and DNA and kind of follows up with those classic movie musicals of the 50s and 60s and 70s even into this movie. And so I think if you're a musical lover, you'll find a lot to love in Barbie. Okay, Tara, what is your obsession this week?
Okay, I had a different obsession like 12 hours ago, and then a video was released and I was like, oh, I have to talk about this. Do you know that Casey Levy is starring in Next to Normal in the UK?
I did know this.
Did you listen to I Miss the Mountains that came out today?
I didn't. Isn't Brandon Victor Dixon playing her husband? Did I make this up?
He's not. Oh,
or he did it a different version.
He did
version.
It at the Kennedy Center, I want to say.
He did something
year.
Else. Okay, someone else is playing her husband, but I was like, am I making this up? He did a different version.
What's on Stage released on YouTube today, Casey Levy singing I Miss the Mountains from Next to Normal. Wow. And I don't normally love this song, but I do love Casey Levy.
Absolutely.
And she sounds phenomenal on this. I think you're right though that Casey did play it in the States too before this production. I think she's a very interesting choice as a Diana because she's not someone that I would typically cast in that role.
She doesn't. So the thing with Alice Ripley is she kind of had that unhingedness already, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Casey Levy has that naturally.
No, but I'd love to see it.
Absolutely.
Just to, and also to hear it, because to hear her sing that score is
would be a dream. If the video that I watched today is any indication of what the rest of the show sounds like, I literally cannot wait for more videos of her singing. She just sounds so, so good. So Next Normal is playing in the UK starting in August. It's like, I don't think it's not West End, but as we know, like, the Oliviers seem to have everything.
It's at the Donmar Warehouse.
Yeah. But yeah, I never thought that I would like think of the song as obsession worthy until I heard it sung the way that it was sung today.
Nothing's real. Nothing's real. And I miss the mountains. I miss the lowly climb.
I Miss the Mountains is really hit or miss sometimes. It really
and sometimes
depends.
I don't even like the way that Alice Ripley sings it, but...
No.
No.
No. did she sing... Did Casey Levy sing this when we saw her in concert? No, right?
I don't think so, because I feel like it would have sounded familiar to me hearing it today to be like, oh yeah, I heard her sing this, or like maybe because I was like in a trance and sick during that concert. Maybe she did sing it and I
so
just
true.
Don't remember.
That was early COVID. That was almost pre-COVID. Yeah. But it was definitely during COVID.
Yeah. It was early 2020 and I think I had COVID, but we are still not sure to this day. Yeah. But that's our obsession of the week and that's our thoughts on Rent. As we have been saying this entire episode, go see Rent in Stratford if you can make your way out to Stratford. Also, like, cross the border if you're in the States listening to us. It's not that far away from Buffalo. So, like, it's honestly worth it. We've crossed the border to go see Shay's shows, and this is cheaper. I highly recommend this production in Stratford. If you're in Toronto, as we said, you can take the bus, and there are always discounts on these tickets.
And Stratford is a really cute town to walk around in and hang out and get dinner in. Beautiful restaurants, really good food.
Yeah, go early so that you have time. And also... Yeah, just, like, make a day of it. I think it's nice to make a day of it. Same thing with, like, Shaw Fest. Like, if you end up going, like, make a day of it. Because it's nice to just, like, explore a like,
on the lake.
Theater town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's our episode. And if you want to listen to any of our other episodes, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe there and leave us a comment.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Threads at Off to Be Away Podcast with the number 2.
And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.